Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and I'm here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Steve. Really good. Thanks. It's always good to be here on Saturday night, reading God's Word and teaching and trying to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through this Word. Because after all, like we've said many times, the Scripture is God-breathed, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, and the Holy Spirit breathes out this Word, so right. It's important. And we love coming here on Saturday night and teaching this Word and going over concepts that, you know, maybe you haven't thought about it in exactly the same way, or maybe trying to get a little more depth into it. But we're just really happy and blessed to be doing this.
Yeah. The Word of God is alive. You know, the Holy Spirit brings life and a newness and a freshness every day.
Yes.
And the Word of God is alive. It's, you know, it strikes at the heart. It pierces between bone and marrow. And it's what...
That's Hebrews 4.
That's Hebrews 4. You know, and the Word of God impels us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can teach us where we're at in our lives, and if there's sin in our lives, mm-hmm. you know, the Word of God can convict us of that
yes.
sin so that the Lord can cleanse that and heal us.
Yes.
And the Word of God can be salvation to those who are being saved.
Amen.
You know, so it's a living, breathing Word. Because God is an eternal God, and He's living and breathing.
Amen.
And Jesus is risen from the dead.
And He's always the same.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And, you know, this whole, you know, Stephen and I were talking the last couple of days about how interesting it's been that during this whole calendar year, since we started doing the show pretty much every week instead of every other week, that the Lord has really led us to kind of proclaim the basic news of the gospel and the basic news of the kingdom,
right,
and how the Holy Spirit empowers us to do ministry, and how even in our weakness and our with our flaws and our fallen nature,
mm-hmm.
we're still used by God in
right.
His kingdom. And we had so many examples of that, but it's all, you can summarize it all by saying it's Holy Spirit ministry.
Exactly.
And yeah. whether it was the first century or whether it's the 21st century, it hasn't changed.
No.
People are still being used. Defective people with faults are still being used.
Mm-hmm.
People who are real intelligent, people who are not so intelligent, people who are pleasant and fun to be with, people who aren't so pleasant and fun to be with, are all being used by Him
Amen.
To the power of the Spirit. And it's just so amazing when you think about it that way. And our little radio show is hopefully just a little part of that.
We hope. Now, as you're saying that, you know, we've talked a lot this past, what, 6-7 months now.
Yeah.
That, you know, how the disciples at first, they didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they walked with Jesus for 3 years and they didn't understand until the Holy Spirit fell upon them and empowered them at Pentecost. And still, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles and God's, you know, the gift of salvation was poured out upon all mankind. And they, you know, the Gentiles started receiving this gift of the Holy Spirit in full measure, that God was using everyone,
mm-hmm.
you know, the prophecy of Joel, I'll pour my spirit upon all
Amen.
Flesh on all mankind.
Amen.
And He's going to write His law in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to know right from wrong.
And Peter did a great job of preaching from Joel chapter 2 that Pentecost morning.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, and you just mentioned that they were walking with Jesus, which kind of brings to mind something I wanted to talk about today, which is one of His parables. You know, Jesus very commonly taught in parables.
Right.
And sometimes His disciples said, what's with this? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And it was prophesied, as I'm sure you know, by the prophet Isaiah that the Messiah would teach in parables. And Jesus talks about it a lot and, you know, refers to the fact that, you know, if you had ears to hear this, you know, it was great. And some people didn't have ears to hear it and didn't understand what it meant. But the people that the kingdom had been given to, like these disciples, when they heard the parable, they kind of got the message.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit today from Matthew chapter 13, which is an amazing chapter because it's about Jesus in Galilee talking in parables. And there's seven parables in Matthew chapter 13. And today we're going to talk about the first one, which is commonly called the parable of the sower.
It's a good one.
Yes. And I think what we'll do is we'll start with Steve reading, because I like the way he reads. So, Steve, if you want to read from Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 23, and then we'll talk a little bit about it.
Okay. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed that fell on the path, and birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once, because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on the rich soil, and it produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The disciples approached him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He said to them in reply, because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look, but do not see, and hear, but do not understand or listen. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and I heal them.
Mm. That last part's a very hard word.
Yeah.
I've always thought that was a really hard word. And he's referring back to Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the exact reference in front of me, but that was first mentioned by the prophet Isaiah, that this is what Messiah would do. And so here is Messiah actually doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the parable is, it's kind of interesting because, you know, it's a Greek word. It's also a Latin word that means word, but it's a Greek word that kind of is a story that explains something. And this was the first parable that we really find. You know, he probably used others, but Matthew wrote seven of them down in chapter 13. Of course, Matthew didn't have chapters. Those were added later.
Right.
But he had this kind of string of parables. And it's interesting that the way it's put, and we talked many times about how people are, that Jesus approached people where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And later the disciples, including Paul and Peter and those early evangelists, they approached people where they were.
Right.
So here's Jesus, and he's talking to a crowd of people, and he's talking in simple language that they would understand. They were, you know, an agricultural society. Everybody knew what seeds were. Everybody knew how you planted seeds.
Right.
Everybody knew about farming. I mean, this is how they basically made their living.
Right.
So here he is using these very simple concepts, very simple language, and things that they were familiar with on an everyday basis to explain theological concepts. I mean, profound things.
Right.
That, you know, if you were walking by and you weren't predisposed to this and you said, wow, here's some guy talking about seeds. Well, you know, I don't want to talk about seeds. I see seeds all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a farmer.
Yeah.
I've just bought some seeds and, okay, and walk by.
Right.
Because they think they're talking about literal seeds. Just like our friend, the woman at the well, when he was talking about, I'm going to give you some other water. You know, he's using their everyday things to explain theological concepts.
Right.
And the people, as he points out, the people who get this, the kingdom has been given to them.
Yeah.
The people who don't, the kingdom's not given to them.
Right.
And it sounds harsh, but that's basically what he's saying here and what it comes down to. So in other words, these simple concepts of these words are, to some people, their life.
Yeah.
And to some people, their death.
Right.
The same words. You know, just like in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, you know, we're life and death to people.
Yeah.
Because we proclaim the gospel and somebody says, oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I accept that. We're life to them.
Yeah.
If they say, oh, this guy's a crackpot. I don't want to listen to any more of this. We're death to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus is using that, these simple things that if you come into an understanding of what he's talking about, the understanding gets deeper and you're going to search more and you're going to get things that are hidden from the guy next to you who says, why is this guy talking about seeds?
Right.
I thought he was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday he's talking about fishing. Today he's talking about seeds.
Yeah.
What's with this guy? Why doesn't he talk about wood?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the reference that you were referencing was in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and that was really the call of Isaiah as a prophet. And it says, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but you shall not understand. Look intently, but you shall know nothing.
Mm.
You are to make the heart of this people sluggish, to dull their ears and close their eyes, else their eyes will see, their ears hear, and their hearts understand, and they will turn and be healed.
Wow.
And, you know, as we start to talk about the parable of the sower and you're explaining, you know, Jesus teaching in these simple terms, you know, he did. He taught about fishing, about being fishers of men. He taught about very simple concepts
mm-hmm.
that talk about the kingdom of heaven and mm-hmm. what it is and what it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in one section of the scripture, I think Paul says, you know, this is in Romans 14:14, that, you know, the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating or drinking, but a matter of, you know, righteousness and faith and love and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes.
I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, but essentially that, you know, it's not about doing things because they're mandated. It's mm-hmm. about loving God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about loving your neighbor. Because Jesus said, you know, when he was asked, Master, what's the greatest commandment?
Mm-hmm.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And these two commandments, the law is fulfilled.
Right.
And this was astonishing to the people at that time.
Yes.
Because they were so into, you know, I mean, they had to keep the law.
Yes.
That's what was given to them.
Yeah.
And then comes along Jesus saying, the law is fulfilled in just these two things.
Yes.
Love.
And he's kind of predisposing them to the covenant of grace that's coming.
Yeah.
Which is based on love.
It's, yeah.
Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
That whoever might believe in him will not perish but have eternal life.
Amen.
Yeah.
So therefore, if I fall short of following the law, I can still be saved.
By the grace of God.
Because I'm saved by grace.
Like,
as Paul points out in so many passages, it would be a whole other show to list them all. But anyway, that's an excellent point.
Yeah. And in the parable of the sower, you know, he first starts out with, some fell on the rocky ground where it had little soil. It fell on the path and the birds came and ate it up. So the path was very hard.
Yeah.
You know, and the seed was just laying there. So the birds came and ate it up. And in that, when the word of God falls upon our heart, if our heart is hardened by maybe unforgiveness or bitterness,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's one thing that I've learned in ministry long time ago ministering with healing teams and with worship is that when someone wrongs me, if I don't forgive and I let that linger,
mm-hmm.
that hurt can turn into bitterness, mm-hmm. that bitterness into anger, mm-hmm. that anger into rage or fury.
Mm-hmm.
And before I know it, I'm so mad that I can't forgive that person.
Yes.
And my heart becomes hardened.
Yes.
And if I continually do that over and over and over again, that's why Jesus says to his disciples when they say, well, how many times are we supposed to forgive people?
Mm-hmm.
7 times 70.
I think even one's really good.
You know, they're probably like, Lord, you got to be kidding us, right?
Even seven's really good.
Come on, we'll go for 7. Okay, how about that? You know, 7 strikes and you're out.
Yeah.
But if we don't forgive, our hearts can become hard,
yes.
crusted. And, you know, a lot of people, they'll build a wall. They'll put up a wall.
Yes.
Around themselves so that nobody can get in because mm-hmm. they don't want to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And when you love, you're going to predispose yourself to feeling sorrow
mm-hmm.
if something happens to a loved one. You're going to have all those emotions that God gave you as a human being because that's what makes you human.
Mm.
And in our pop culture today, we want to try and sometimes get everybody on a flat line.
Yeah.
That you're not too high, you're not too low. You just say everybody's, you know, pretty almost you're comatose.
Yeah. You know? Everybody's got mellow emotions.
Mellow emotions. Yeah. Don't get too upset about things.
Yeah.
And not, you know, with some degree of understanding that if you're out of control, that's not a good thing. Your emotions are there for, that's what makes us human.
Yeah.
And the emotions help us to have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
They help us to love.
Mm-hmm.
They help us to know that something's wrong. Something's not truthful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so God gave us that gift of the emotions to help us really to be the people he created us to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, and in that, if the word of God falls upon that hard, encrusted soil or the hardness of a heart that's not open, it's going to be quickly taken away.
Yeah, exactly.
The word's going to be quickly taken away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so neat that all that you just said, Jesus, who of course is, you know, saying Jesus is an excellent teacher is kind of a silly thing to say.
Yeah.
But the way he teaches it, like I was saying before, with these simple concepts of words from everyday life that everybody experiences,
mm-hmm.
and he's able to convey this whole big meaning, you know, pretty much what you just said.
Yeah.
Just in that thing about, well, some of the seeds are on the road. You know,
yeah.
Everybody says, okay, so what?
Yeah.
But, you know, what you read also from Isaiah, you know, you have, you know, people hear this, but they don't understand.
Right.
You know, people see things, but they don't perceive it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you have eyes of faith and you see something happen, you perceive it totally differently than somebody who is totally of the world and sees the same event happen.
Right.
Or hears something. I mean, any of the senses that, you know, this goes back to these parallels that have the mysteries of the kingdom in them, but mm-hmm. people respond in different ways.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to go through some of the other kinds of, the other, you know, soils that he talks about. And, you know, the thing is he says to these guys who are his friends, you know, the mysteries of the kingdom are given to you.
Yeah.
So in other words, you guys are going to understand it. Now that guy over there, he's not going to understand it. You guys are going to understand it. So when you're close to him, you know, when you're close to Jesus and you're walking with him, the things that he says, you understand.
Yeah.
And it's just like we're sheep and we hear his voice like a sheep hears the shepherd's voice.
Right.
When he's saying things, we understand them. If we're not tuned into that, if we're not walking with him, if we're not close to him, we don't understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
We think he's talking about seeds.
Yeah.
We think he's talking about the water in the well. We think he's talking about the literal thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because a good friend of ours, Josephine, she was in Israel for a few, you know, like for a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me about how she saw the shepherd. She saw someone shepherding a flock.
Yeah.
And she said it was really interesting to see that actually happening.
Yeah.
And how the sheep would respond to just the shepherd's voice.
Yeah.
And it brings home that whole, you know, when Jesus is saying, I'm the good shepherd, my sheep know me and I know them and they'll, you know, they'll know my voice and they'll follow me.
Yeah.
And to see that, you know, here again, he taught in that type of parable where he's telling the people something they could visually see on an everyday basis.
That's right.
And how they're going to follow him.
Yeah.
You know?
And what's really cool, too, is it says he's talking to a multitude.
Yeah.
And he's talking in a boat.
Yeah.
So, you know, this boat becomes his pulpit. You know, he doesn't need a cathedral or a really big synagogue. You know, he's talking from a boat.
Yeah.
And this multitude of people, they were just like the poor, ordinary, everyday people. They weren't the educated people. This is one of the few times it doesn't say that there's Pharisees or scribes there.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just like telling this parable in language that these people understand. And it's just an awesome way to teach.
Yeah.
If the Pharisees would have been there, who knows what they would have said.
Oh, good.
We got a break already. Oh, we could just go on. Anyway, we'll let you listen to the St. Paul Wilbur music. Remember, find Gift of Grace on Facebook, search, and leave Stephen and I some comments. And what's that webpage again?
www.giftofgraceministries.org.
Great. We'll be back in a minute.
Please stay tuned. The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliani and Steve Garchar will be right back.
Till the end of every day, praise and honor. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Who is like him? Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Come praise him, praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day, praise Adonai. Nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Phil Giuliani and Stephen Garchar, and we're here talking about what's commonly known as the parable of the sower. And before that awesome song by Paul Wilbur, we were talking about how Jesus used simple everyday terms to make these powerful theological meanings. And, you know, he's preaching from a boat to a multitude of poor people, no Pharisees or scribes around. And there's different kind of people listening to this story.
Right.
Just like in everyday life, there's different kind of people that are hearing the gospel in one form or another and responding in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the seed, of course, and, you know, this is one of those things where the disciples ask him, so how come you're doing this? You know, how come you're teaching like this?
Yeah.
And he actually like explains what each thing of a parable means,
right,
which is pretty cool. So, you know, the seed is the word.
Right.
The seed is the word of the kingdom. And, you know, the seed is what, of course, when you plant a seed and a plant grows from it and then the plant gives fruit, you know, the seed, you know, good seed that grows in good soil brings forth fruit. And
yeah,
the seed being thrown, you know, is of course an analogy of the preaching of the word, the proclaiming of the kingdom. So somebody is throwing the seed out. See, we're not given the name of the sower. We're just told that the sower goes out and throws the seed. And so that it's the seed being thrown is the preaching of the word. And the different kinds of soil, you know, he goes through four different kinds of soil.
Right.
That are basically conditions of the human heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, Steve, did a good presentation of the one and maybe like to say some more about it, but he does this in such a masterful way of saying there's really going to be kind of four different kinds of hearts that are going to hear this message.
Yeah.
The first one, you know, nothing happens. The seed hits the road, you know, the roads where people are walking back and forth. It can't grow. Even if it doesn't get eaten or trampled, it's not going to grow.
Right.
Because eventually somebody's going to walk over it and going to kill the plant. And it never penetrates. You know, the evil one steals it.
Right.
You know, the birds eat it.
Right.
You know, it's an uninvolved person who isn't really, you know, sort of tuned into anything. And the evil one says, wow, what a crock that sounds like.
Yeah.
Why are you listening to that?
Yeah.
Why don't you just go to work like you're supposed to go to work? And, you know, why don't you go relax and watch some TV? And, you know, why don't you go to bed? I mean, this is nonsense. Why are you listening to this? I mean, this is the seed that falls on the road. They don't pay any attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing sinks in.
Right.
The seed doesn't sink into the ground. The birds eat it. The evil one steals it. So the first soil on the path, on the road, like we don't really have paths, but everybody knows what a path is.
Yeah.
I mean, these people would have had paths that go through their fields. And if you threw the seed on the field, I mean, on the path, nothing would have happened to it.
Right.
And interestingly, too, you know, the seed's just being thrown all around,
right,
you know. It's not just being put in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to throw the word out kind of all around.
All around.
Yeah, all around. And then where it falls, the type of soil, the condition of the heart, is what determines what's going to happen
right
to it.
You know, and what you're saying is, in what you're saying, I should say, is that we're called to preach the gospel.
Yep.
We're not to worry about basically who's receiving it and who isn't receiving
it. Yeah.
Because we have really no control over that.
Right.
That's up to God.
Right.
And in that parable in Matthew, and I'm just going to read a little bit from chapter 13, and this is in verse 19 and 20. As you were just saying, the seed on the path is the one who hears the word of God without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on the rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. Now, that's a very important part of this,
yeah,
because if I receive the word of God with joy in my heart and I'm not prepared to face the persecution, mm-hmm, that I'm going to face as a follower of Christ,
mm-hmm,
then I'm not prepared for the battle.
Right.
And I'm going to condition myself for the battle, because Jesus says, the world hated me, it will hate you.
Right.
If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So if we are a follower of Christ and truly a Christian, which means to be a sharer in the anointing of Christ, we have to have some understanding that our lives may change dramatically,
mm-hmm,
but it's for the kingdom. We necessarily aren't going to get riches and glory,
right,
here, which is
that's
not,
right,
that's not the essence of, you know, ministering for the kingdom.
That's right.
It is for the salvation of souls. So our lives can change dramatically, and sometimes that's very frightening,
right,
to people. But you know, it causes us to, do we want to follow the Lord?
Right.
You know, Jesus says, come follow me.
Right.
Take up your, if anyone wishes to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
It doesn't say, you know, don't worry about that cross stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty.
Just have fun.
Yeah. It's going to, yeah, it's going to be, you know, we're going to give you, you know, some nice feather pillows to, you know,
buy a new car,
tread on and stuff like that. Yeah. Buy a new car, a new house, all that stuff. That's not what he's talking about. It's about the salvation of souls.
Amen.
And it's about how much love do we have in our heart to shepherd those people that God's placed in our mm-hmm. lives. And we have no control over that.
Right.
Because God will place people in your life that you may think, oh my gosh, I gotta talk to this person.
Yeah, exactly.
But that person is precious in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for, you know, it's not for us to judge if we're shepherding. Cause in here, again, he talks about the privilege of discipleship in verse 16 through what, 18, 16 and 17. And if God gives you somebody to talk to, you got to talk to them.
Yeah.
You got to shepherd their heart and their soul because that soul is important to God.
Right. And it doesn't matter what else is going on around you, how tired you are, or what you have to do.
Right.
You just have to do it. And, you know, it's like you say, it can be frightening.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the point of a transformation, which gets you to what I call a Philippians 3 person, which compared to knowing Christ, everything else is rubbish.
Rubbish, yeah.
You know, Paul says, I counted all as loss, all the stuff I had before, because now I have him, I have this, all that other stuff is rubbish.
When the love of God so fills your heart.
Yeah.
That there you know the peace, you know the joy, you know the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of God's love.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters at that point.
Right.
And when you come to that place spiritually, all this other stuff, you're going to be just like Paul saying, man, all that stuff that I thought was important, it's nothing. It's rubbish.
Yeah. And the guys on the path aren't going to get that.
No.
Now the next group are the stony ground. You know, they do a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's a stony ground. You know, they hear the word, they listen, they don't immediately say, oh, what am I listening to this for?
Mm-hmm.
This is nonsense. They kind of consider it and they say, oh, this is really interesting. So they start to think about it and he says, you know, they receive it,
mm-hmm.
but they're not really committed enough to it. They like to hear it. You know, maybe they heard a good sermon. Maybe mm-hmm. they came across a preacher on TV, or maybe they came upon somebody in a church they went to. And, you know, most of the time they're sitting there half asleep, but today they heard something and they said, wow, that's pretty interesting. I think I should really think about that sometime.
Yeah.
But they don't have any depth. They don't have any root.
Right.
You know, the fruit can't be produced. They're not dependent on Christ enough to say, wow, I really accept this now, and this is going to be the most important thing in my life. They think it's interesting, but they're still centered on themselves.
Yeah.
So when something happens, they get diverted from the word immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Any little thing that diverts them.
Yeah.
Or when somebody says, if they say something to somebody and that friend or coworker or someone says, wow, why are you talking about that? That sounds pretty weird.
Yeah.
They're immediately offended or they're embarrassed. They say, ooh, I better not talk about that anymore.
Yeah.
They do a little better than the people that are on the path, but they don't have the depth to really get this.
Right.
They don't really get it.
And that's exactly what happened to me in Cancun.
Yeah. I love that story.
I mean, ooh, man, that sea was taken right away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that's the, you know, you had kind of stony ground.
Oh, yeah. I was very stony.
I didn't know him then, so I can't comment. But, the stony ground people do a little bit better, but they're not penetrated enough.
Right.
They're not penetrated enough. And, you know, then the third one is this kind of thorny ground, which is kind of nice because the seed comes in. They accept it. They get some root. They accept this word to a bigger extent. The seed you know, starts to grow. The plant starts to grow. They have some root to it. And, you know, it's kind of a longer period of time than the one before it,
mm-hmm.
and way different than the first one. They come to a point where, wow, you know, I'm really getting into this now. I really understand this now. But then it says the weeds grow in with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus explains what he means. It's their worldly cares. You know, it diverts us. They divert us from what we should be doing.
Yeah,
oh, I have to go to work. Oh, my dog is sick. Oh, my son's in trouble at school. Oh, my boss thinks I'm a jerk. I mean, all these things, I mean, they're worldly cares.
Yeah.
I don't have enough to pay my Visa bill. I mean, these are important things, but they're worldly cares. I mean, these things come as a result of the fall.
You know, exactly.
Come as a result of the fall.
Yeah.
So they get the word, they root, they start to grow, they may even start to bear fruit. But now all of a sudden they're diverted by these things that happen day to day.
They get busy like the story of Martha and Mary.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that no fruit is produced. And they, you know, it's kind of like, it also reminds me of when we talked about Jesus said, you know, when you put your hand to the plow, you can't look back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what happens? These people plowed with a wooden thing, with animals pulling
with oxen,
it. They had
yeah.
to steer it. So when you put your hand to the plow, you had to steer that plow forward.
Yes.
So you had to keep your eye on him, and you had to go forward. If you start looking back, you know, if you start faltering, the plow goes all over the place.
All over the place.
And then instead of having a nice straight furrow, you have this like stupid wobbly looking thing.
Kind of like someone driving down the street trying to text message somebody or
yeah, that's yeah, right. Or drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like, wow, you say,
yeah.
whoever plowed this field,
yeah.
they must have been drunk. I mean, this looks terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, because he says, when you put your hand on your plows, you can't look back.
Right.
And, you know, the other things of the world are riches, you know, riches and like the material part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be money, it can be power. It can be lust. It can be any of these things where you say, well, you know, I really kind of like that.
Yeah.
And it diverts your interest.
Yeah.
So instead of spending your time building up the plant that's growing and caring for the plant,
mm-hmm.
you say, well, you know, the plant's nice, but I got to spend some time doing this.
Yeah.
I got to build my career. I got to get my savings account going. I got to get all these other things going. Now, there's nothing wrong with savings accounts and all these other things. Don't send emails.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is that their attention is diverted. And so eventually they put their confidence in those things
mm-hmm.
rather than on this word they just got.
Yeah.
And the money, you know, if it's money, I mean, money's, you know, kind of a big one.
Yeah.
But, you know, the money is what they put their confidence in.
Yeah.
And they rely on. And they say, man, this is what's gonna help me
yeah.
when things go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Not that word stuff I was doing last month.
Yeah.
And so the good seed gets choked and no fruit comes.
Right.
And speaking of fruit, here comes an awesome song. We're going to take a break and listen to an awesome song by Paul Wilbur. And remember, giftofgraceministries.org. You'll find a lot of archived radio shows there now. Steve has done a lot of work, and you'll find some teachings and some other things. We'll be back in a minute.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word. Thank you.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Stephen and I have been talking about the parable of the sower, and I can't believe we're in the last segment of the show already.
It goes fast.
Anyway, we went through three of the different kinds of ground. So, Steve, what do you think about this last ground?
Well, this is the best type of soil. This is the best type of soil, and it's the good and fertile soil.
Amen.
And, you know, the word says, but the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hearing the word of God before I received that embrace of God's love that we commonly call the baptism of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
I didn't understand the word.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the transformation that takes place when that happens, because I start reading scripture, there's a hunger for the word of God,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, the words are just jumping off of the page at you,
yeah.
and you're getting this understanding of what this actually means,
yeah.
that you didn't have before.
Connected to other parts of the scripture.
Right, that you didn't have the day before.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it's just so, you know, at some point it's like, wow, this is really awesome. A little overwhelming at times, but, you know, the Lord really uses, as you said earlier, ordinary people
mm-hmm.
to preach. Because that's all he has to use.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's
right.
really an ordinary person.
Yeah.
But the one who follows the Lord and cooperates with God's grace for the plan that he really has for their life,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be that rich and fertile soil
yeah.
that's going to bear the fruit of God, the
yeah.
fruit for the kingdom, and a harvest of souls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really what preaching the word is all about.
And it's the fruit, you know, it's kind of neat how he talks about how, you know, the fruit multiplies itself.
Yes.
I mean, you start with one seed and then, you know, whether, no matter what it is, but you take like wheat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say, I don't know if you're calling them a wheat plant, but you know, like you got one plant of wheat that came from one seed and then it produces all kind of, you know,
yeah.
ears of the grain.
Well, ears. look at corn.
But yeah, and corn is a better example too.
Yeah,
I mean, a good example
here.
Too. It's like, you can see where he talks about the 100 or the 60 or the 30, because that one seed, that one word that landed, grew, took root, got water, got exposed to the sun, the plant grew, and all these ears of grain, all these kernels of grain came from that one seed.
Yes.
Which is fruit for the kingdom.
Yes.
Because that person heard the word and took it to heart and acted on it.
Yeah. And now they're proclaiming the word of God.
Yeah.
Bearing fruit that others are hearing and receiving.
Yes.
And bearing fruit.
Yes.
And it's
multiplied.
It's multiplied.
There's always a factor of multiplication.
Yes.
Because if one person affects 100 people and those 100 people each affect 100 people and so on and so on, you get millions of people affected by one person who started
right.
doing something.
Right.
And whether it was Paul or Peter or you or I or, you know, one single person who's listening tonight
right.
may have that same effect. It wasn't
right.
just for Paul and for Peter.
Right.
And for all those people you hear about then, it's for us today too.
Yeah.
In an even more powerful way than it was then, because we certainly are living in a world that has to hear that word.
Well, amen. Amen,
and
brother.
We need more, and we need, you know, fruit being born in our world. 100 or 60 or 30-fold.
With the distractions that are going on in our world now.
Exactly.
I mean, the amount of, the way that communication, how fast communication travels, you know, internet, broadband phone, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're inundated with
our
information.
Webpage.
Our webpage. Well, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Go to our webpage. But that there's so much information that comes at us at such a rapid pace. It's easy. It's very easy.
Mm-hmm.
For the cares of this world to choke off the word of God.
Absolutely.
And it happens every day. And that's why it's important for, like, those who have been called to do this, like you and I, to do this show to, you know, maybe feed someone who's really hungry for mm-hmm. the word of God.
we weren't thinking about doing this years ago.
No. never thought about that.
No.
You know, and as you're saying, it's for everybody who hears. You know, in John 17, when Jesus prays his prayer to the Father, you know, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me mm-hmm. through their word.
Exactly.
So that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. Mm-hmm. You know, that everybody who hears the word of God is going to come to believe and bear fruit for the
mm-hmm.
kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
Another good parable is the parable of the talents. But that's another show. So
there's lots of good parables. There's lots of them in the same chapter in Matthew 13.
Yeah.
But this is the, and of course, this is the ideal ground. This is the ideal human heart.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know, when the seed's being thrown, in other words, you know, the analogy is when you're saying the word out, when you're preaching the word out, it's landing on all these different people, and all these different people and their hearts are in all these different types of soil.
Right.
They're all in one of the four.
Right.
And when you're up in the front, you know, whether you're on a pulpit or an altar or a platform or whatever you have in your church.
Or in a boat.
Yeah. Or a boat. Yes. You know, a little bit away from the sea. I mean, Jesus used whatever.
Exactly.
You know, you can't always tell. I mean, he could tell. You and I can't tell which of these soils the guy standing in front of you is, or the guy standing over there, or the guy standing over there.
Right.
And you just throw out the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And some are going to be in each of the four groups.
Yeah.
But it's going to be the people that are the good soil, the people that it's going to grow and it's going to put down roots and it's going to produce a plant and it's going to produce fruit. Mm-hmm. These are the people that really spread the kingdom.
Yeah.
The other people either get eaten up, distracted, you know, choked up, choked off, and they don't yield the fruit that he wants us to yield.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, there's lots of things in our world today that can distract us from, you know, even coming to hear the word of God. We hear how much do we hear that, you know, congregations, church attendance is way down.
Yeah.
And because people are busy with other things, they're consumed with other things that they feel are more important. And in that storm, you got to hold on to the anchor, which is Christ.
Amen.
You have to.
Yes.
Or else you're just going to get, you know, taken downstream with the rest of,
And I think you make the excellent point of in our culture that we're living in now, in our society, the distractions are thousands of times more than these guys would have had. Yeah. Well, I can't believe this show's over already.
Salvation belongs to our God,
amen.
Brother.
Good way, always a good way to end the show. I love this song. Well, Stephen and I will be back next week with another edition of The Gift of Grace. So go to our webpage, giftofgraceministries.org. Go on Facebook and have an awesome evening and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow.
Go to the website. There's archives of the radio show if you'd like to listen to them again. And have an awesome Lord's Day, everyone. Have a good night and God bless. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.